Mercy Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We're a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, the Mercy World, the Catholic Church, or social justice. Today, my visitor is Butoi Dudone. Butoi, a warm welcome and hi to my radio program.
Yeah, thank you again. Thank you for giving this opportunity.
Butoi Dudone is from Burundi. He has a bachelor degree in art with criminology and anthropology as majors. He also completed postgraduate diploma in art in human services at Auckland University of Technology. And he was the treasurer of Auckland Refugee Community Coalition. And today he's working for the Ministry of Social Development. Butoi, he has come to the Muffin Talk a few times and has talked about his time as a refugee and how he is still in touch with his people in Burundi and giving support to them. Butoi, you've been now living in New Zealand for quite some time.
Yes.
Do you still miss your home?
Yeah, it is a very good question to ask. In brief, I still missing home. I left Burundi when I was a young teenager. And it is very interesting to see that even if there is a big distance between Burundi and New Zealand, I still have that kind of emotions just to meet people whom I met in my young age. I can give you an example. Recently, I met a young man, yeah, he's now an adult. I was with him 25 years ago. And when I met him, we looked to each other. It was hard to recognize each other. But at the end, we asked to each other, "Are you so? Are you Butoi?" "Yes." And we cried. And at the end, we sat down and we talked about those years, 25 years ago, and it was a good joy to see that you are able to meet somebody whom you can share good things and bad things during those times. And those are the ones which, when you are far away, you're still missing. Nothing can replace really somebody whom you grown up together, somebody you managed to connect when you were still very active, looking forward about life.
So your daughters won't have that relationship because they grew up here in New Zealand, didn't they?
Yeah, lucky they are because we are trying our best to settle in New Zealand, and all my daughters were born here, even if I have one who was not born here, but she came here when she was only 1 year old. So she doesn't know anything about Africa. So the only place they know is New Zealand. Lucky they are.
And how do you stay in touch with your friends and your family in Burundi? You still have family in Burundi, don't you?
Yeah, most of my family members, they still in Burundi. And lucky, currently now we have a good technology. We have WhatsApp. We are able to text. We are able to make calls. We have Messenger, and you can talk to each other face to face. Yeah, it is like now we have a global village. But those things, yes, they cannot replace something you can touch, something you can just connect directly. But at least they help to know how they are, how they feel.
Just to stay in touch.
Yeah, to stay in touch.
Stay in touch, but it's not replacing the face-to-face visit.
Yeah, a physical connection is very important.
So every now and then you have to travel.
Yeah.
For those of you who have just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or visit our website or Facebook page at Tengaka Waiora, Mercy Spirituality Center. My visitor today is Butoi Dieudonné, and he's from Burundi, but he's settled well here in New Zealand. But every now and then, he does travel to Burundi. So in our last interview, you mentioned a health project that you started in Burundi. I understand that recently you've been back in Central Africa. Yeah. Can you tell us more about this project and the trip?
No, that's also another very good question. Before I talk about the trip, it is much better to remind people who are listening how this project started. Mm-hmm. And as you say, sometime I take opportunity to go to Africa. So I went in one zone, Rugari, province Muyinga in Burundi, and I found that they have one health clinic. And people were traveling from far away, coming and wait in order to get healthcare services. And there was no even hope to see that those medical doctors will be able to see them by the end of the day. They have to wait there for the whole day. And at
They are walking. They're walking long distances, or how do they get to these long distances?
So they are, the clinic is not nearby to where they live. They have only one clinic, which is serving the whole population of Rugari and also the nearby Collins. So you find that people, they have to wait a long time in order to get health services at that clinic. So what I thought during that time when I went there and I found how people at the end of the day, they have to do triage at that clinic in order to see that they can at least see those ones whom they see that they are urgently in need of health services. And during that time, I was just as anybody can plan about life. I was building a small house in that village, and I was inspired by the local people to see that if we can have another health care, not nearby, but there is a small distance from the current clinic and also the health care clinic, which now we are running. And through that inspirations, we decided to change that small house into a health care premises.
So you went to Burundi to build a small house.
Yes.
And you ended up building a clinic.
Yes. And from that time, I got connected with a local organization run by local people to help me to get all necessary information which will allow the beginning of that health care. And because they were working for themselves and also they know the need of that health care, we start together, we start from scratch.
So it was you and a few other people from that village?
Yes.
And when you went back to New Zealand, you had to trust the other people that they continue the work?
Yes, I trust them and they trust me. The agreement was that we don't have funds, but where there is a will, there is a way. And that is why it took for so long. From 2004, we managed to open the clinic on 1st October 2017. So almost
13 years.
Yes. From 2014 to 2017, yeah. Almost three years.
Yeah, yeah.
And from that time, we met some challenges and also some success, which maybe I may talk in details later on. But let's come back to your question about why I have to travel to Africa, especially in Burundi. It was a very sad trip because the coordinator of that project passed away suddenly, and it was my joy to go to celebrate his life with his family and also with the healthcare team to boost also the morale. So it was a sad trip, but also it gave me opportunity to see how far the project has gone. In French, we say that in pierre d'écu, to mean that you can throw one stone, but you may reach two things, or yeah, depending on the number which you make, you may get your target. Yeah, so I got time to connect with the family and also see how the project is doing. That is how why I did the trip. Yes. First of all, it was to go to celebrate the life of the coordinator who put too much effort to see that the project is becoming successful.
So he was doing a really great work.
Yes.
And that's thanks to him that you could open the clinic.
Yes.
And now, how many people are in the clinic?
Currently now we have 7 full-time employees and 1 volunteer. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And how many people come to the clinic now?
Because we don't have all necessary facilities, we're still offering basic health care.
So the people come and receive health care and then they go home again?
And they go home. Okay. Home again, but also the clinic does offer facility to be there 48 hours. We have rooms if somebody needs to continue taking medicine under the guidance of a nurse. We are authorized to keep an eye on those sick people for 48 hours. Which is good because the clinic is open 24 hours, 7 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
And do you have any statistics? How many people are coming every day?
Currently, we are satisfied with the number of people they are seeing per day. But we need more as we offer less services, as also the number of patients are becoming less. And for instance, I can say that most of the people in Burundi, they don't have enough funds in order to get to pay the services. As we opened, relying only on the little funds I was having and also with the commitment of some friends, so we have to start charging full price of the consultation and also asking them to pay a full price of medicine, which also has some negative impact on people, mm-hmm, on people's lives. Because currently now in Burundi, they have what we may call universal health care, where they pay some fees and they buy some cards, and the government does subsidize them. So because we have not yet, at the beginning, we are not having that facility, it affected also the number of people who were attending the clinic. But currently, last month, we managed to secure one of those cards. Now people who are registered with one of the subsidy card, they are able to come to our clinic, and they will pay a half of the price, and also they will get some services of free charge, which is good. And later on, we may claim the expenses from the authorities, which is good.
So you're working together with the authorities, yes, now to set it up really properly.
Yes, to set it up properly. So little as we get experience, as also we endure with the challenges, the authorities are looking forward to see that they can work with us.
Were there a lot of bureaucratic challenges to set up the health clinic in the first place?
Yes, there is a lot of bureaucratic obstacles because you have from the beginning, from the first time you start the foundation of the building, you have to make sure that you are satisfying the number of rooms you are going to build. So they will be according to the registration, according to the law of Burundi. And as also you build, you have to make sure that you have to check with the engineers, check with the authorities, the healthcare authorities, if they are not going to tell you that, oh no, you have to repeat all this one. So it is a very slow process, but assuring when you are going through. It is good when you are following the law and you know that you are under the guidance of somebody who knows what you should be doing.
And also it's important that not everybody starts building a health clinic and doesn't have the right staff or doesn't have the right equipment and does more harm than good.
Yes. Yeah, I was talking about the building, but also employing. You have to make sure that you employ people who are qualified according to the local law in order to make sure that you give better services. They ask you the number of employees you will have to have, the number of qualifications, and also the number of the quantity of medicine before you open you have to have. So there is too many rules and regulations you have to follow. But at the end of the day, when they gave us certificate that now you are legally allowed to operate, it was a joy.
Oh, yes, next you had a big celebration.
Yeah. No, I have not yet celebrated. Oh. No, I have not yet because I still have too many challenges.
Yeah.
Yes, but it is very satisfactory.
And I remember last year we had a presentation at our spirituality center that was about locally grown medicinal herbs, which are in every country there are certain medicinal herbs. And usually all the illnesses, sicknesses that you have in that country that are typical for the country, you'd have some kind of remedy.
Yes.
Are you able to use any of this medicinal power of local herbs in your clinic?
Yeah, when you are building a clinic, you have to be specific what you are going to use that building. And for us, we asked to use only a certificate to use the Western medicine. And as you know, before the arrival of Western medicine, we were having also some diseases in Burundi. And also, as they were having disease, they were having also the traditional medicine, which was good. And also, they're still using them. I believe they're still using them, especially this time when I visited in Burundi. I was very happy to sit on the bed of a patient and talk to her. She told me that when I came here, I was not able to talk. But it is very interesting to see that somebody can get sick and remain at home 1 week. Because I asked her, was it because you were not able to get a fund or you don't have those subsidy card in order to go to the other clinic? And said, no. So my question was, sometimes they get sick and they have to start with what they are familiar with. So when I ask somebody, they say that, yes, some people, they have to start using the traditional medicine, and also we have traditional healers, but it is not well developed there. But there is opportunity there. We have local diseases which can be treated by local medicine, and it is very interesting to see that how they can work and make better physical health.
Because in many countries, you have people are starting to have a kind of balance between what is locally grown and what they can use, and it's proven, and proven just by examples or by tradition.
Yeah.
But that can help if you don't have enough funds for pharmaceutical products. You might use some plants. Yes, and last time, or the year, I think 2 years ago when you came first, you talked about Burundi being a beautiful green country.
Very green.
It's not desert where you don't have much growing, but it's a green country with a mild climate, isn't it?
Yes. So it is a good country with many plants, which needs only if I hope there must be one clinic using only traditional herb, because that one is in our culture, and I hope if somebody can get interested, can go and develop those talent, because we have talented people who know those medicines, but who are not able to use them. And even we find that the malaria, which is highly treated in our clinic, has also traditional medicine, but we never know. Every time we think only about chloroquine, but we may find that there is a local plant able to cure malaria.
Malaria?
Yes. I believe in that.
So if you find that plant, you might be able to sell it, and then you can get more funds for the hospital,
for the clinic.
Oh, that sounds really interesting. Yeah. And if somebody wants to support your work at the clinic, what possibilities are there?
Yeah, there is a good opportunity to support. Currently here in New Zealand, we have opened a charitable organization known as New Zealand Burundi Healthcare. It is a registered charitable organization, and also we have our account with the ASB. So everybody can go there and donate. And especially what I wanted to appeal is that even if I was saying that the building is giving a good services, we still have a long to go. That is why I say that, yes, I have not yet celebrated, because during my visit, I spent a good time at the clinic, and also I talked to the coordinator and I talked to the medical team. We still have challenges. For instance, the laboratory is not equipped, and also the building needs to be repainted, and we don't have a budget for wages. It is like living day by day, just by the mercy of God. And what I want to say, during Easter, I got a chance to talk with the children, and they were meditating about the Holy Week. And we talked about one gentleman known as Simon. Simon was a man who was stopped when Jesus was carrying his cross, and he was tired, and he was asked to help Jesus. And they don't say if maybe he said no or if he hesitated. And as we took it positively, say that, yes, he said immediately yes, because he saw that Jesus was tired. And whether he hesitated, whether he was forced, but at the end, I hope he said that, thank you, I helped somebody. I help somebody who is in need. And after knowing that he shared life with God, he was a happy man. That's why I say that you don't wait. A chance comes only once. Just help us to see that we can be able, pay wages, have enough medicine, and also do now to be able to teach properly healthcare about in Burundi.
And you've already achieved quite a lot that people don't have to walk or travel so far to get a treatment, because now at least even if you can't offer everything, at this stage there is somebody they can talk to and they can be looked after.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Butoi. That is, I think you're doing a great work with reaching out back to Burundi.
Thank you.
And staying in touch and connected to the clinic in Burundi. And I think that that's something to support. Thank you very much.
You are welcome.
And let's see what's coming up in our Mercer Spirituality Center. On Wednesday, the 30th of May, we'll have from 10 o'clock to noon, Father Neil Dara, who will repeat his presentation on his first part of Laudato Si Pledge. The title is Pray for and with Creation. Our Writers Weekend workshop with Joan Rosier Jones is going to be held from Friday, 25th of May, to Sunday, 27th of May. And on the 7th of June, Father Pavlos Patitsas will facilitate a workshop on the topic Bearing One Another's Burdens, the Strength of Intercessory Prayer. Father Pavlos Patitsas is the Greek Orthodox priest in Auckland, and we will learn also about a little bit more about the early Christians, how they helped and supported each other. And on the 15th and 22nd of June, we have Susan Healy, who's going to give a presentation on the treaty and the connectedness for the many cultures of Aotearoa, New Zealand. Friday, the 15th and the 22nd of June from 7 to 9 p.m. For all our events at our center, please register with us per phone at Auckland 09-638-6238 or via our website at www.mercerspiritualitycenter.org.nz. And today we had Butoi Dieudonné here. And Butoi, one wish that you have?
Oh, thank you very, very much. Really, the time I visited the clinic, it was a big joy when I saw that mothers are able to deliver on a proper bed, not on the floor, and also they have somebody who can take care of them. We don't pray only on my zone Rugari mothers. We pray also for other mothers who are in refugee camps and all those ones who are experiencing different difficulties at this time. So thank you.
Thank you. And we continue to pray and to support you. Thank you.
Thank you.